Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870 WWL. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio at 5:45. We'll have our triple option feature. Steve Geller will join us. Our lineup today is Tulane Tuesday. So we'll have on with us the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, at 5:20. Mark Schlereth, our Odyssey NFL insider, will be on the talk, and man, the Saints are the talk of the town, and so we'll certainly get Mark's take on this past weekend's game against the Cowboys, and then leading up into Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles, and at 6:25, Steve will have on with him Ruben Franks, who covers the Eagles for NBC Sports in Philly. Man, they weren't happy. Man, at the end of that game, man, the Boo Birds came out big time in Philly.
We'll get into it.
For Nick Sirianni. And I still kind of shake my head. Man, you got to run the ball. I know Saquon had to play, but he's dropped so many passes coming out in the flat. Now, last night he was okay until that play, but good gracious, run the ball and take the time off the clock. They can't beat you if they have no time. It didn't make any –
okay,
I shook my head watching it. Well, why are you throwing it here? Because you do take that chance of an incomplete pass, and just how fast Kirk Cousins got him downfield and got him into
hot knife through butter.
I mean, like,
I texted you and I texted Cullen as soon as it happened. Yes, I disagree with the play call as far as throwing the ball on third down when you can just run off an extra 40 seconds of clock, but it would have worked if Saquon could just catch an easy ball that was put right in his hands in the flat.
My thing is, I don't throw it to him because I know he, of all the halfbacks over the last 3 years, he's dropped more passes than any other running back coming out of the backfield. Charlie, he's good in a lot of ways. And last night he did catch the football pretty decent. But, man, I don't put him in that spot. I'll run it not because of Saquon, because of the clock and the time element involved with it. Also, let me go back to it. At 7 o'clock tonight, we'll have the Saints Hour with Mike Hawes, voice of the Saints, and Saints Executive Vice President, General Manager Mickey Loomis. They'll also have on with them former defensive end, NFL, Chris Long. I think that should be offensive lineman Chris Long, and former offensive lineman Brian Baldinger will be on the Saints Hour with Mike Hoss. And again, he'll start it off with Executive Vice President and General Manager of the Saints, Mickey Loomis. Getting back to the game last night, though, Charlie, again, I just shook my head when I saw he was going to throw it, and I'm like, no. You can't do this. And then I see Saquon's open, I said, oh, no. But, man, give Kirk Cousins credit and a lot of credit that he was not really on last night, but when you needed him to, Kirk Cousins came through in the stretch, and you saw 82-year-old Arthur Blank on the sidelines and how excited he was that they were able to pull out that victory.
I mean, it's not even like, yes, Kirk Cousins and the Falcons did go and win that game. But you know, like the gift from Billy Madison, like, you blew it. Philly, you blew it. That was terrible. And so now it's like a double whammy because you have a 1-1 Philly team that's not going to want to drop to 1-2, that's for sure, when they come to New Orleans. And then you give, you know, Atlanta a lifeline. Atlanta was staring at 0-2. By the way, they play the Chiefs in week 3. They could be staring at 0-3 before they face the Saints in week 4, and the Saints would have had a chance to bury them early on in the season. Instead, now they're 1-1, and they've kind of got the life raft. So, you know, it's such a frustrating loss for so many reasons.
For Philly fans, oh, my God.
I'm not even a Philly fan, and I'm upset.
But they let them hear it at the end of the game. And, man, talk show in Philly, man, it was some lively this morning with Eagles fans. And they feel as though, with Sirianni, this is the same old that we saw at the end of last year. Questionable coaching decisions, yep. Not understanding clock management, any of that sort of thing. With the Chiefs, I told this to Bob, I'd got a tip from an agent friend of mine that they were going to sign Kareem Hunt, and that's what happened today. The Chiefs have signed veteran running back Kareem Hunt, who knows that system very, very well. So they brought him. He's going to be on the practice squad early, and then I think it won't be too much longer that he'll be on the 53-man squad. So you bring in a veteran running back, Isaiah Pacheco. That's a big loss for them. He's going to miss probably 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks was the original report, which means that he will not be playing against the Saints.
And that I think that's more on the higher end than six. I think it's probably more eight. So that particular part with Kareem Hunt brings in a veteran. He knows what Andy Reid likes to run and that sort of thing. But, man, they put in, two buckets of full water for Patrick Mahomes to cart around again with the loss of Hollywood Brown, the receiver for the entire season. And they think today with Tua Tagovailoa, that doesn't really surprise me. No. He's on injured reserve. He'll be out at least 4 weeks and have that evaluation. And Tua's got a lot to think about. This decision only can be made by him on what he wants to do with his career. He says he wants to continue to play, but he's got to be more cognizant, too, not to take on people. Man, you're not going to last long in this league doing that, just coincidentally, up against DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, I've heard he's visiting with a neurologist this week and trying to decide his future. But, yeah, he's going to be out for the next 4 weeks at the very least. And it's a tough situation. That's why the Dolphins went out and got Tyler Huntley, the former Ravens quarterback.
Yeah, there's no protection for that head.
No, there's not at all. And the amount of brain bruises that he's already suffered throughout his career, it's always a tough look. And it was a bad look on
Thursday
night
when that arm goes out like that, almost like he's holding a sword. I've seen this high school, college, pro. That's a pretty bad concussion when you get one like that your arm almost just straightens out
just
like that.
Slide.
And, man, it sort of sends the chills through you because you knew he had been going through this before, and so he's got a major decision. And what it does for the Dolphins the rest of the season, they just signed a new contract with him, and I think there's a little bit of a wiggle room financially, but could be a major impact on the Dolphins' season with Tua on the sidelines. But he's got to worry about his long-term health. That's the bottom line in all this. When we return with more sports talk, we'll have on with us is Tulane Tuesday, the head football coach of the Green Wave, John Summerall, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, as we wait to connect with Tulane head football coach John Summerall. I want to tell you, if you want to go to the Saints battle with the Philadelphia Eagles in the Caesars Superdome, WWL has your tickets. Score the ultimate game day experience. Two premium tickets to the game, a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Groups. We're talking open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. Go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win Saints-Eagles tickets from Dudley DeBosier, official injury lawyers of the Saints and Saints Radio WWL. So, hey, get in on that before the clock sort of tick a little bit. Last night, Charlie, one of the things I saw, and this continues with the Eagles, and I brought this up, in the last two games in which the Eagles won with Jalen Hurts at quarterback, he rushed for 175 yards, 106 one game, 69 the next. Last night, he rushed for 85 yards against the Falcons. And so he only threw for 183, but he rushed for 85. In the games against the Saints that he won, the most passing yardage he threw was 167 yards. But, boy, he killed them on that ability to use his legs, get outside the pocket, make some plays, and cut you out of position. This is the game, sort of, you can signal Willie Gay has to become the spy guy to make sure Jalen Hurts doesn't beat you running the football. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is Tulane Tuesday and is brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We have on with us the head football coach of the Tulane Green Wave, John Summerall. John, thanks so much for joining us. John, the lead-in was great for me. I couldn't have planned it better. We doing post-game for LSU, Herb Tyler and I. Herb knows a little bit about running quarterbacks. And so they got the Oklahoma Tulane game on, and he's like, Mike, this dude Jackson, Arnold, can he run with the ball? I was like, oh, yeah, he can run with it. I said, man, Herb, I'm just telling you, he's really good running the football. And I saw him at Manning, and, man, he did a lot of stuff, you know, the waggle, throwing it, you know, moving a little left, a little right. So we get at halftime, and he's like, Mike, how come you didn't tell me he was that good of a runner? It's like, okay, you didn't ask me. I told you he was a good runner. I didn't get into all kind of details about it. But, man, you got it full force to watch Jackson Arnold and what he was able to do, rushing for almost 100 yards, 97 yards. And, man, when you play against a guy like that, it puts so much pressure points on a defense. And for the first half, you know, you could see defense really hadn't adjusted to Jackson.
No, he's a good player, good athlete. You know, two of his long runs in the first half, we didn't help the matter by blowing some assignment from a fit standpoint. So, you know, Oklahoma didn't need our help. Jackson Arnold didn't need our help, but we gave him a little help, too, by not fitting some things properly early in the game. Calmed down in the second half and performed a lot better. But, you know, as a team, we played really, really bad football at the beginning of that game. You know, I had to do a media timeout in between the first and second quarter with ESPN. And I told them, hey, look, we played about as bad as we could play, and we're down only 7-0. So I feel all right. And then we look up, and a few minutes later, we're down 21-0. I'm like, dadgum, how did it get worse? And then we calmed down, and to look up, you know, fourth quarter, we got the possession twice. We had two different possessions, and we're down 24-19 with a chance to go down and score and take the lead if we do it. And so it went from one of those games to where Jackson Arnold and the offensive, we didn't stop them, and it looked like we might get around the stadium, to the next thing you know, we're right there in a chance to take the lead in the fourth quarter with the possession two different times. So crazy game. We didn't start very good, but was proud of our guys' response. And they're a good quality opponent. That kid, he's a good runner when the ball is in hand.
Man, and he's just going to get better as a passer with more experience. In the second half, if you know, everybody got a do-over, so to speak, to run maybe a little bit more, because I felt as though you started to hit some seams there that were open. And you got a little bit of pop there running the football in the second half.
Yeah, we did. You know, we had a 3rd-and-1 where we threw it and really didn't throw it to the right guy. We should have tried to tight end if we were going to try to. They had everybody hunkered down, you know, within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and looked a very aggressive look. It was a hard look to run into. But we did pop a few runs here and there in the second half. We got away from early in the game. We were trying to run the inside zone on them and kind of felt like we were running into a brick wall a little bit. And we started running a little bit more wide zone and felt like we popped a couple here and there. So we improved. We found some run seams, like you said, and really, you know, hindsight, like Yogi Berra said it, right? Hindsight's 50-50, right. Not 20-20. And so on that 3rd-and-1, might have run it again if we'd have known that the outcome was not going to be what we wanted. But that's a good defensive outfit. You know, they've been really good stopping and running. Their interior D-line was stout, and their linebackers were really good against us. And so the inside run game, we kind of got stoned a little bit at times. The edge stuff, wide zone stuff, we were a lot better off.
Hey, Coach, you talked a little bit about calming down in the second half, and one thing that stood out to me was the front seven for Tulane in the second half looked really, really solid, getting pressure on the quarterback on multiple different possessions. I know you finished with 3 sacks, but it felt like double that at points. Tyler Grubbs with a big pick six to bring it within 5 points. I mean, what do you see from the front on your defense and that unit kind of settling down after a little bit of a poor start and playing some really good football against a quality opponent?
Yeah, you know, the first half, we were not very good at getting off the field on 3rd down, but it had more to do with what was happening on 1st down because they were getting into 3rd-and-2 a lot, not 3rd-and-6 or 7. And so they were converting at a higher rate than we had given up. The first 2 weeks, we had been pretty good on 3rd-down defense. The first half last week, we were not because, like I said, it was 3rd-and-short a lot. And so that affected, you know, they didn't have to throw the ball a whole lot in predictable pass situations. Well, second half, we were better on 1st down, which put them more into 3rd-and-longer situations. which then allowed us to pin our ears back a little bit more and go rush the passer. And so, you know, a lot of times your opportunities to rush the passer, they come because you play good first down defense and you get them in third and longs. And so the second half, our front definitely was more active. You felt the pressure. You felt us playing on their side of the line of scrimmage a little bit more. And you felt us having the opportunity to create some negative plays. And Tyler played a really good game. You know, he had sack, had the interception that pulled us within one score there. And we were, you know, kind of clawing our way back in. And Grubbs did some really good things to positively affect the game. And but the front for the first time, really all year in the second half, you kind of felt them started to create some things that were helping our defensive success.
Coach, go back on the defensive side, the football we do in the post game, and they got a guy standing up right in front of us, and he was like, Mike, this guy's Stutzman, he got a brother that plays on the team? I was like, no. He said, they keep calling his name all the time. I said, no, he's the same dude. I said, that's Danny Stutzman. If you watch Oklahoma play, man, Stutzman's in on a lot of tackles. But I said, no, he doesn't have a brother that's helping him out. He's sort of the one-man wrecking crew that OU has. One of the guys that really came through for you, and I was glad to see it, I saw him in high school at East St. John, is Dante Fleming. And you talked so much about Dante before the season started. And he made a big impact in this game, going up against some quality corners.
Yeah, Dante's been a really good player, man. He's been a great worker. You know, he's really, I thought in the summertime, he was one of our hardest working players in our whole team. And just a driven kid, a focused kid. And it's been fun to watch him make plays. You know, he had a pretty big game against Kansas State, and he was productive last week at times. Had a pretty good punt return that got called back from on a block. But Dante's been fun to watch, and he's just been positive. And he had a couple things where he could have probably dialed in a couple of routes a little bit better with some details. But he's been getting better and better, and been fun to watch. And you're right on Stutzman. I recruited him out of high school.
Oh, really? Okay.
I was coaching linebackers at Kentucky when he was coming out. And I tried to recruit him. He's from Windermere, Florida. Really tough, athletic kid, good runner, great tackler, very physical. And you're exactly right. His number 28 shows up all over the field. You see him everywhere. He's one of the better linebackers right now in college football. He's a fun player to watch.
And he's no small linebacker. No, he's a big dude.
He's a big dude.
Out there on the field.
Yeah, another good size kid. Yeah.
For that linebacker spot. Another guy that really came through for you, too, from the River Parish, Kevin Adams III. And a little bit about his progression as a player. And, again, they got a lot of players in that River Parish region. You could go about a 20-mile ride and find you a lot to put on the bus, so to speak, to bring the Tulane. So a little bit about Kevin Adams.
Yeah, there's a lot of dudes from the River Parish for sure. So Kevin came in, swam to Spaney, got ejected for targeting in the game in the first half. Kevin came in and had a really good football game. I tell you, he since really post spring practice to training camp in August, I think is probably our most improved defensive player from a football IQ standpoint. That the physical traits very obvious. He can run like he's got real speed. Mm-hmm. He's a gifted kid athletically, and he's a really good kid. Like he's a quality young man. But you could tell there were some things maybe, you know, the game of college football can be fast when you're coming from high school and then you have to learn formation adjustments and route recognition and different splits and spacing and things that go on with certain calls. And the game has started to really kind of slow down for him. And he's put a lot into his film study, his classroom time to understand the structure of the defense and how to operate within a defense. And man, he really, when his number was called on Saturday, I was so proud to see just the way he performed in that moment. And I think he's got a really bright future. I think he can be a big-time player at this level, and excited to see what he continues to do.
Looking at head coach or traveling to Lafayette, my stomping grounds.
Oh, Lord, coach. He going to talk to you about them Raging
UL
Cajuns.
UL Raging Cajuns. Coming off a bye week, coach, which, you know, kind of presents a little bit of a challenge in its own right that they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this Tulane matchup. But what can you kind of tell us about this matchup heading into it?
Yeah, you know, you're right. They're coming off of a bye, which sometimes can give them a little bit longer window to maybe study who we are and what we are. There's a little bit of familiarity. You know, we played them when I was at Troy the last 2 years. And so their staff and our staff, for the most part, we've coached against each other a couple times and really like Dez, like those guys, good people. They're a quality football team. They're 2-0. They've won their first two games, beat Grambling and Kennesaw State. You know, they got good size. They always, man, every time you play Louisiana Lafayette, they're just always big. I remember going out in pregame, we got ready to play them in 22, and I walked out pregame, and I thought we were playing LSU. I'm like, who are these guys? They're big, big men, you know? And so they just always got good players, and they're well-coached, and it'll be a real challenge for us. I mean, going over there and playing on the road, and they always have talent, man. They have always got good looking guys that can run and are big, and so we got our work cut out for us. It's gonna be a tough challenge on Saturday.
Man, they got a bunch of those former Raging Cajun offensive linemen in the NFL. A couple of them got paid pretty well.
Hey, how about my guy,
Robert Powerball. They got Powerball money, not that lottery stuff, Powerball money. Coach, you're going through sort of the growing pains with a young quarterback where we've seen some high moments. And then, you know, with Darian, you understood that it wasn't all going to be smooth. And I talk to him all the time, you know, in sports talk about when you see a rookie quarterback in the NFL, what C.J. Stroud did is an anomaly. Okay, that doesn't happen often in the NFL for a rookie quarterback to have that type of impact, and he looked like he's a seasoned pro. And we see Caleb Williams and Bo Nix and Bryce Young, all these guys over the last couple years that have come in. Okay, it's a big jump from college to pro football. And I think this game was the big jump for Mensah. I think he got an opportunity to see, man, that team got a lot of guys that can run. The speed of the game and maybe a little bit of confusion on exactly where to go with the football sometimes.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, you hit the nail on the head with the transition of, like, going from high school to college or college to the pros. You know, there's always that transition with every position, but quarterback's the hardest individual position to play in all of sports, probably. You know, I mean, there's more things going on, and the thing I'll say too, it's a lot easier to play quarterback when the guys around you are playing really well. And I don't know that at times we played great around Darian on Saturday. You know, I'm not saying all the time we didn't, but there were some times where maybe our route wasn't run to the right depth. There were maybe a time or two we didn't quite protect the way we'd like to. And that doesn't help the quarterback's job, make that job any easier. It's already a hard job. And then on top of it, you look at, you know, the first week we played Southeastern and he performed well. Well, then we played really good for the most part, with the exception of probably two plays against Kansas State. And, you know, Kansas State, really unique defensive structure, very well coached. But I think what you saw against Oklahoma was maybe there were some mismatch issues for us in certain spots that made it harder on the quarterback. And then also those windows, those throwing lanes get a little tighter and they close a little faster when you're playing a team like Oklahoma. And then Brent Venables and his staff, Brent does a great job schematically. They're very multiple. They'll throw some unique pictures at you. And so for a youngster playing quarterback, but really for your whole offense, they're going to give you some looks that maybe are unconventional at times. And they kind of constrict some things for you. So he took some lumps. You know, he did some things well, and there was definitely some things he'd like to have back. And, you know, third college football game, first road game, go to Oklahoma, 83,000 people, and play against a really good defense. he had some things that weren't ideal on Saturday, but feel confident that he'll learn from them and grow from them. And you know, the great thing about him is he's a very motivated kid who I think is probably harder on himself than anybody could be, and he really wants to be a good player. And so he took probably some of those lumps personal and wants to get back at it and prove that, hey, he's got what it takes. It's just, you know, there's a learning process there, though.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. We always appreciate your time and insights. And listen, take this the right way. Take care of business this weekend, because, you know, with Charlie Long,
Coach,
here,
I appreciate you.
With a raging Cajun, that's where he went to college. Man, I'm never going to hear the end of it if the raging Cajuns win. We ain't going to hear the end of it. So take care of business. You know what I mean?
I appreciate you. Y'all have a great day. Roll away.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. That was Tulane head football coach John Summerall. Tulane Choosy was brought to you by Bayou Black Electric, your electrical connection in the heart of South Louisiana. Learn more at BayouBlackElectric.com. We'll be back with more Sports Talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTille along with Charlie Long. I want to thank Tulane head football coach John Summerall. Always does a great job, and he's got a great sense of humor, you can tell. By the way, he answers some of the questions. I want to tell all football fans out there, join me and Steve Geller for our weekend kickoff, a special edition of Sports Talk live from the Treasure Chest Casino, and we'll have it every Thursday throughout the football season. And for our first show, Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert will be there to our countdown to Thursday night football as the Patriots play the Jets. Well, that'll be a barn burner. And to amp up fans for Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So come out and hang out with me and Steve Geller. And this week, the Cajun Cannon himself, Bobby Hebert, Treasure Chest Casino by the Game Bar and Grill in the casino. That's Thursday, 4 to 7. Right before Thursday night football as the Patriots play the New York Jets. And, man, it wouldn't be for some stupid mistakes by the Titans. The Jets would be 0-2 also. Man, I don't know how many games New England's going to win.
The Patriots are 1-1.
They are 1-1, but they ain't going to win a whole lot more. A
couple plays away from being 2-0. Don't forget, the Seahawks beat them in overtime last week. But as far as, you know, the barn burner comment, you got me laughing in here, Mike.
Game. But listen, gambling, that don't, for people who got coin, you know, it don't really matter. Because some people, man, they enjoy putting that. And some people just like watching the NFL.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, Mike. What do you think the over-under is set for that game?
I would say 40.
Ooh, close. 38.5. So there's a couple other games that are actually like either the same or lower, like the Giants-Browns game. I mean, come on, Cleveland. The Giants are one of the worst teams in football, but that over-under set at 38.5. The Packers-Titans game, over-under set at 36.5. So, I don't think the NFL is expecting too many barn burners early on this week.
They ain't got a lot of you. Well, again, people who are involved in fantasy football and also got maybe a nickel or two on the game. There's always interest in pro football. Again, I bring up this point about the last couple of times the Saints have played Jalen Hurts, they've had difficulties stopping him running the football. We saw the Falcons last night. They had difficulties also as he rushed for 85 yards. He threw for 183 and rushed for 85. So I think that's something to watch. But these are the type games. It's why you signed Willie Gay. For a big part of it, because he was the spy guy with the Chiefs. Andy Reid made that decision that, hey, I see all these athletic quarterbacks coming out of college football. We've got to be able to match up. And Willie was that guy. So I think he's going to play a big part in this game. You know what you're going to get from Jalen Hurts. Now, the good news is A.J. Brown told ESPN last night that he's going to miss the next couple weeks with the hamstring injury. That's not official, but when you tell Lisa Salt that, that's pretty much you kind of the cat meow.
And that's coming from A.J. Brown.
And that was coming directly from A.J. Doesn't look like you're going to have to go up against A.J. Devontae. He's going to have a lot of double coverage and coverage over the top on him.
And, Mike, he still got 10 targets last night in that game, Devontae
Smith. He still
Smith.
Got open.
Yeah, and he did. 7 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. He had a really nice game against the Falcons. The one thing that stood out to me, and you talked about the Saints' defense versus the Eagles' offense and that kind of matchup. For me, Mike, I was looking a little bit at what the Falcons were doing against the Eagles' defense. And with the amount of draft capital that the Eagles have spent on the interior of their defensive line with guys like Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, they still
Nolan
can't really
Smith.
Stop the run.
Nothing.
They can't stop the run. So that was one thing that stood out to me, right? If you're looking at last night, the Falcons' offense had 28 rushing attempts for 152 yards. Yes. Granted, 4 of that was from Kirk Cousins for -1 yard. Just take that out, right? And then you have 24 attempts for 153 yards. That's 6.4 yards per carry. The Eagles, and look, I know that Bijan is a solid running back, 14 attempts, 97 yards, 6.9 yards per carry. So he accounted for a lot of that. But they couldn't really stop Tyler Allgeier either. So what you saw from the Falcons offense last night against
the Eagles defense,
I'm running it down their throat. Same thing that you did to Dallas this past week. The Saints are number 3 in the NFL right now, offensively, in total rushing yards this year. They're only behind the Chargers and the Packers. They're at 370 total rushing yards. I mean, just do it again. They're averaging basically, 185 rushing yards per game? Yeah, keep it up. Because the Eagles couldn't stop the Falcons last night when they were trying to run the ball.
And that's the big difference with this team, with the Saints today, that you didn't have over the last 2 years, a running game. I did a show out in Los Angeles yesterday morning. And I told them it's unbelievable because the fact the Saints only threw the football 16 times in this game. And they were like, 16 times? Come on, got to be more than that. I said, oh, no. It was only 16 times.
They made the most of it.
And they made the most of it with some big plays. But I think the big difference you see, man, and give John Benton, Rick Dennison a lot of credit. Clint Kubiak has done a fantastic job with these game plans over the last 2 weeks. But how Dennison and Benton have got this offensive line to play so well, so early in the season, none of us predicted this. No one could have saw this sort of transpire before your very eyes. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our #1 of sports talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long, Joe from Mandeville. Joe, hang on, and we'll get to you right after the news break here on the Big 870. And then at 5:20, Mark Schlereff, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us talking about the Saints. And boy, did he have an exciting game. Giants Commanders this past weekend.
Oh, the at least he gets, bowl, Mike?
Man, that's unbelievable. We'll let him talk about it. At least Jaden Daniels got that first W.
Yeah, first W off of the back of 7 field goals. I mean, how crazy was that? They couldn't score in the red zone, and the Giants are still that bad that they can't win anything.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. I want to thank Tulane head football coach John Summerall. Always does a great job, and he's got a great sense of humor, you can tell. By the way, he answers some of the questions. I want to tell all football fans out there, join me and Steve Geller for our weekend kickoff, a special edition of Sports Talk live from the Treasure Chest Casino. And we'll have it every Thursday throughout the football season. And for our first show, Cajun Cannon Bobby Hebert will be there to our countdown to Thursday night football as the Patriots play the Jets. Well, that'll be a barn burner. And to amp up fans for Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So come out and hang out with me and Steve Geller. And this week, the Cajun Cannon himself, Bobby Hebert, Treasure Chest Casino by the Game Bar and Grill in the casino. That's Thursday, 4 to 7, right before Thursday night football as the Patriots play the New York Jets. And, man, for some it wouldn't be for some stupid mistakes by the Titans. The Jets would be 0-2 also. Man, I don't know how many games New England's going to win.
The Patriots are 1-1.
They are 1-1, but they ain't going to win a whole lot more. A
couple plays away from being 2-0. Don't forget, the Seahawks beat them in overtime last week. But as far as, the barn burner comment, you got me laughing in here, Mike.
Game. But listen, gambling, that don't, for people who got coin, it don't really matter. Because some people, man, they enjoy putting that. And some people just like watching the NFL.
Well, let me ask you this real quick, Mike. What do you think the over-under is set for that game?
I would say 40.
Ooh, close. 38.5. So there's a couple other games that are actually like either the same or lower, like the Giants-Browns game. I mean, come on, Cleveland. The Giants are one of the worst teams in football, but that over-under set at 38.5. The Packers-Titans game, over-under set at 36.5. So, I don't think the NFL is expecting too many barn burners early on this week.
They ain't got a lot of you. Well, again, people who are involved in fantasy football and also got maybe a nickel or two on the game. There's always an interest in pro football. Again, I bring up this point about the last couple of times the Saints have played Jalen Hurts, they've had difficulties stopping him running the football. We saw the Falcons last night. They had difficulties yes. also as he rushed for 85 yards. He threw for 183 and rushed for 85. So I think that's something to watch. But these are the type games. It's why you signed Willie Gay. For a big part of it, because he was the spy guy with the Chiefs. Andy Reid made that decision that, hey, I see all these athletic quarterbacks coming out of college football. We've got to be able to match up. And Willie was that guy. So I think he's going to play a big part in this game. You know what you're going to get from Jalen Hurts. Now, the good news is A.J. Brown told ESPN last night that he's going to miss the next couple weeks with the hamstring injury. That's not official, but when you tell Lisa Salter that, that's pretty much you kind of the cat meow.
And that's coming from A.J. Brown.
And that was coming directly from A.J. Doesn't look like you're going to have to go up against A.J. Devontae. He's going to have a lot of double coverage and coverage over the top on him.
And, Mike, he still got 10 targets last night in that game. Devontae
he still
Smith.
Got open.
Yeah, and he did. 7 receptions, 76 yards, and a touchdown. He had a really nice game against the Falcons. The one thing that stood out to me, and you talked about the Saints defense versus the Eagles offense and that kind of matchup. For me, Mike, I was looking a little bit at what the Falcons were doing against the Eagles' defense. And with the amount of draft capital that the Eagles have spent on the interior of their defensive line with guys like Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter, they still
Nolan
can't really
Smith.
Stop the run.
Nothing.
They can't stop the run. So that was one thing that stood out to me, right? If you're looking at last night, the Falcons' offense had 28 rushing attempts for 152 yards. Yes. Granted, 4 of that was from Kirk Cousins for -1 yard. Just take that out, right? And then you have 24 attempts for 153 yards. That's 6.4 yards per carry. The Eagles, and look, I know that Bijan is a solid running back, 14 attempts, 97 yards, 6.9 yards per carry. So he accounted for a lot of that. But they couldn't really stop Tyler Allgeier either. So what you saw from the Falcons' offense last night against the Eagles' defense.
I'm running it at the Eagles.
I'm running it down their throat. Same thing that you did to Dallas this past week. The Saints are number 3 in the NFL right now, offensively, in total rushing yards this year. They're only behind the Chargers and the Packers. They're at 370 total rushing yards. I mean, just do it again. They're averaging basically, 185 rushing yards per game? Yeah, keep it up. Because the Eagles couldn't stop the Falcons last night when they were trying to run the ball.
And that's the big difference with this team, with the Saints today, that you didn't have over the last 2 years, a running game. I did a show out in Los Angeles yesterday morning, and I told them it's unbelievable because, in fact, the Saints only threw the football 16 times in this game. And they were like, 16 times? Come on, got to be more than that. I said, oh, no. It was only 16 times.
They made the most of it.
And they made the most of it with some big plays, but I think the big difference you see, man, and give John Benton, Rick Dennison a lot of credit. Clint Kubiak has done a fantastic job with these game plans over the last 2 weeks, but how Dennison and Benton have got this offensive line to play so well, so early in the season, none of us predicted this. No one could have saw this sort of transpire before your very eyes. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break. We're finishing up here in our #1 of sports talk on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long, Joe from Mandeville. Joe, hang on, and we'll get to you right after the news break here on the Big 870. And then at 5:20, Mark Schlereff, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us talking about the Saints. And boy, did he have an exciting game. Giants Commanders this past weekend.
Oh, no, at least
he
gets, bowl, Mike?
Man, that's unbelievable. We'll let him talk about it. At least Jaden Daniels got that first W.
Yeah, first W off of the back of 7 field goals. I mean, how crazy was that? They couldn't score in the red zone, and the Giants are still that bad that they can't win anything.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this break.